Give me my Bible. Let me read my Bible. Take your breath and give me my Bible. I need to have my quiet time. Why are you looking for signs? That's why Jesus said, come all those who are thirsty and drink from the waters. When you drink from these waters, you will never thirst again. Can I have an amen from somebody? Are you listening to me? Yeah. Jesus said, my meat, my kebabs, my satisfaction, my ohalabi beme, how do you call obalahi mama? Moheleli mama, moheleli namana, whatever. Moheleli bana. Bohobeli nama. Bohobeli nama. My pap and what? Pap and phrase. What's phrase? Phrase. Fleisch. Ah, Fleisch. Fleisch. In German, we say Fleisch. Fleisch. Pap and Fleisch. It cannot satisfy. Look, when I was in Ghana some years ago, we drank Coca-Cola at Christmas. When Christmas is coming, you will know that you will see Coca-Cola. Until Christmas, you will not see Coca-Cola. And chicken also. Coca-Cola cannot satisfy. Now we have Coca-Cola everywhere. And when you look at it, you see that it does not satisfy. Now they have to advertise. Brr, 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 so that you buy it. Because it's not working. But Jesus said, my meat, my happiness, my joy, my satisfaction, my fullness, it comes from doing the will of my Father and finishing the work that He has asked me to do. I tell you, the strength that we need to finish is as if you were just born again. Just born again. Just about to fight. God has just saved you. That's the kind of strength that is needed to finish. Yeah. Because finishing is elusive. It's deceptive. There's a lot of deception against you when you've started and it has worked to a point. But finishing it, there's so much. So now I don't need this. I don't need this. I'm okay. So you don't finish. So it is a greater difficult job to finish than to start. I am surprised that we don't have 100 churches in Pretoria. How do you call it? Gauteng? Yeah. By now. I'm not talking about full timers. I'm talking about lay people. But you see, there's a cost. And that's why I'm preaching. If you think I'm here to crack jokes, better go and find Mr. Bean. He can make you laugh better than I can. And don't compare me with Mr. Bean again. Some of you see me as a comedian. Are you there? Yeah. Zimbabwe, look, you better rise up and be wild. This is the best time for the gospel. Poverty, difficulty, pain. That's when people will believe in God. Recently, I was analyzing some church members left my church and left one of my friend's church. And I was analyzing the people that left the church. There was one guy, I remember him. He didn't have anything. He was a student. He couldn't even go to the university. But he managed to do some other courses until he qualified in some things. He left the church one who just went off. And then my other friend, he also had this member. And now this guy prospers. He has nice things, working, business, whatever. Always moving around. It's great. But now he's left. Somebody who used to be doing well. But you see, that's how people are. When they do well, they don't respect God again. It's natural. That's why the Bible says it is easier for a camel to to pass through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. That is why you must be saved before you become rich. So that by the time you are rich, you are already a camel. You become a camel, you have already passed through the eye of a needle. So you are a camel on this side of the needle. Yeah. I see you becoming rich in Jesus' name. A camel, post-needle camelization. Hallelujah. Are you there? Okay, number 8. There is no shame if you are tired. There's no, tell your neighbor, there is no shame at all. If you are tired, you may scream. There is no shame at all. What time is there? Lunch, supper, break time? Everybody stand up, stand up. Because you see, this is just the introduction. These 24 things is just to enter the real camp. You get it? Okay, stretch. And give your neighbor a bump like this on the side. All right. We are going to break for a break soon. But until then, there is no shame at all if you are tired. Tell your neighbor, there is no shame at all if you are tired. You may scream. You may scream. Okay. All right. Sit down. Now, the next reason why we must finish the work of God. Please, I see a lot of people forming a market at the back. Don't form any specialized market at the back, please. Be part of what we are doing here. Amen. We must finish the work of God because it is finished works that will prove that we were sent by God. It is the finished works that will prove that we were sent by the Lord. Amen. 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 Okay. John chapter 5 verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Amen. John 5 verse 36. I have a greater witness than that of John. He says, I have a greater witness than that of John. Why? For the works of the Father, which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So the work that has been given to him to finish are what testify, alright, that God has sent him. Now if I have built a church uncompleted with stones, rocks, whatever, does it say anything about the builder? But when you see a beautiful cathedral working nice, it says something about the person who finished it and who built it. So your unfinished work do not really prove that God sent you. They don't show who you are when it's unfinished. But when it is finished, it will send a message. It's a witness. The work that God has sent you to finish, it is those work that will testify of who you are. You see, and that proves that you were really sent by God. It's finished works. Amen. If our church in South Africa, we had stopped, I had a chair, somebody has taken it.
Ah, there's no shame at all. And they scream.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes,
what was I saying? Supposing we started our church in Southern. Supposing we didn't even buy the building that we have. You see, the church would be different. You see, so when you do something and you don't do it fully, you get it. It doesn't say something about. It doesn't prove that God actually sent us to South Africa. That's why I'm very keen to get a building in all the different countries to finish the buildings and so on. Because when it's finished and it's completed, Pastor Andy in Swaziland, when it's finished and completed, anybody who drives by, who is this? Oh, they say, some Ghanaian guy came here some years ago and he started building churches and so on. This is his headquarters. And so, that's what they'll say. But now when they pass by, say, oh, some construction site. That's all that they'll say. So the work that you finish, it is the very work that testifies of the fact that you were sent by God. So if you want it to be proved that really God did send you, you must not just start something, but you must bring it to its very end. It, that is what proves that you were actually sent. In fact, the unfinished work does not prove anything. Amen. If you cook, half cooked, and you bring it, and you say, I went to a chef school, a school of chefs. What do you call such schools? Catering school. And you bring me your half-cooked rice. What does it prove? One day, I saw some sisters. They said that they were, every time you ask them, are you doing well at home? So we are doing well. Are you doing well at home? We are doing well. Is your husband happy with you? He said, have you ever seen a sister who answers that question that, oh, I'm not doing well? No, always they are doing well. Is it true or it's not true? True la. So one day, I was somewhere, I said, make some rice. So they made rice. When I tasted the rice, I was not sure whether it was rice water or stony rice. Or I don't know whether either too cooked or not cooked. I think it was soggy. So I had to say, go and do it again. Because cooking of rice has become a problem. We are doing well. So your unfinished food cannot help us. Do you think we will be impressed? It's your finished work that is impressive. Malawi, if you finish something, it will be impressive. But as at now, do you think it is impressive? If you die now, do you think if anything is, oh, Emmanuel went to Malawi and we maybe said, God didn't send him. We may say, God didn't send him, but he forced too much. He forced too much to go there by force. And God didn't send him. But if he finishes something, and even he's dead, we say, God sent him. People will look and say, God sent him here. Yeah. That's why all of us must pray to God that we'll lay hands on the finished work and finish whatever we are called to do. Think about what God started in your life. You were so bad. Now at least you have reached the level of what? Stopping doing bad things. But is that the end? You got to move on. What do you think? There are greater things. When you get to the point where you have many good things and you have to choose which one to do, then you've advanced. But not that you have bad things that you are choosing not to do it. You see, you have to get beyond that. To the point where now, should I pray? Should I read my Bible? Should I witness? Should I start a church? Should I evangelize? Should I? But not that. Should I fornicate? No, let me kiss rather than fornicating today.
Okay, I'll watch pornography, but I'll not. I'll smoke cigarette, but no more cigars. So you see that you are not fully cured. Amen. So God has started something, and I want you to become a beautiful, finished project. So that we will be so happy when we see you. Amen.
Amen.
What do you think? Is it a good idea? There's somebody here. You've poo-pooed on yourself as we were sitting here. Own up. You keep poo-pooing on yourself when we come to church. Who is that? Who is making the place smell? Should I show you the person? Should I show you the person? No, isn't it? What about the person cannot help it? The person is not able to control. The person was growing, you see. Then when he reached that place, he stopped developing. He stopped developing. You know, there are people like that. They can't control it. Have you seen somebody with a grown-up child, 11 years old, 15 years old, sitting in the house? He has absolutely no control. Poo-poo's anywhere. That's, you take the child to church. It's not funny. Take the child to church. The child will take the poo-poo and put it all over the church toilet. Oh, you feel sorry for the mother because the child was growing and stopped growing. Huh? He was growing and stopped in the middle. The middle. Mothers can understand that. Would you like that? No. So that's how God is looking at us. We were growing. At 6 weeks, when somebody smiles at you, you smile back. That's when you have a baby, 6 weeks. You smile, the baby will smile back. You smile, the baby will smile back. And you realize for the first time, the baby has recognized me. When they are born, they are almost blind. But at exactly 6 weeks, you smile, the baby will smile back. Then the child begins to turn the head, begins to crawl. All those things were happening. And when it reached the place where it should grow and then develop the ability to not wee-wee and not poo-poo after eating. Because it's a reflex. When something goes in, something comes out. It's a reflex. Like that. It's called gastrocolic reflex. Gastrocolic. Gastro, stomach, colon, reflex. It just happens. That's why when you eat, that's why every restaurant has a toilet. Because of that reflex. You are not allowed to build a restaurant without a toilet. Have you ever seen, anytime you are in danger and you see that you are walking in danger, go to a restaurant. It is by law. Yeah. Hey! How pathetic and ugly it is when you don't grow. Mandla, come. Can you imagine? He has pampers. He cannot control himself. Will it be nice? Will he become a pastor that he is? Look at him. He could easily be a patient. He just wee-wee on himself right now. Will it be nice? Huh? No. No. But thank God that he continued. He developed all those. Have you developed all those?
I've developed, Bishop.
Develops. Are you able to control yourself?
Everything I can control.
Everything. Even after eating, are you able to control?
I can control.
You can control.
When and when not to.
When and when not to.
And where.
And where.
And where.
And where. There's no shame. There's no shame. Yeah. So you see how terrible it is. We are like a 15-year-old wee-weeing on himself, poo-pooing on himself in South Africa.
When we do not become the 100 churches, 200 churches, whatever that we are supposed, even though we are praising ourselves because of our height. The height has developed, but this place has not developed. One day I met a mother. She was crying. Her child had gone to the toilet, to take toilet everywhere. Everywhere. It's not a small thing, no, to have a child. And it's not a small thing for God to have you and I as his children who are not developing. Developing and growing up. Some of you sit in the church for years, you will not develop. Every day, just you are fighting sin. There is another level of life apart from fighting sin, watching films and other that going for dances. You are some way to God, and he's waiting for you to get up and say, let's move on. These are basic. Basic. Amen. And Mandla would never have become a pastor if he had not developed controls. Some of those things. Some of you have to develop control for sex. Yeah. No. You have seen too many women. It's not a good thing as a man. By the time you get married, you see that all powers are gone. Bible says, why should thou dissipate thy vigor and thy strength upon a strange woman? You have that's all. A lot of these people, when they marry, they can't have sex again. You see them lying there, elderly men without strength. They have dissipated. Why wouldest thou give thy strength? Shamalaba sakadaba shodalaba. Thy strength. You have gap on so many women. Hey! You have retired. And this is what we call premature retirements, premature aging. And some of you ladies, you have jumped on too many men. And this must be the last man you are jumping on. Tell your neighbor, I don't know his name, but that is the last. Mercy. How many are glad that Mandla has developed himself? Clap for him for developing those aspects. It's good. It's a blessing. Okay, sit down. Sit down. Number 9. We must finish the works that we have been asked to do so that we bring glory to God. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Oh, now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. What does it say? I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God is glorified when we finish. Amen. There is no beauty and there is no glory unless it's finished. Pastor Richard, what do you think? Whatever God used you to do in England must be finished. Must be finished. Otherwise, the beauty is not there. Amen. And the beauty that's going to come out of some of you, wow, if God finishes. I like what I see. Sing that part for me.
Used to spend my whole life trying to figure me out, blaming everybody but me. I used to love to listen to people talking about instant remedy. I just kept on trying, but it doesn't mean I've changed. It seems like all the answers to what I wanted to be never apply to me. So when I came to Jesus, tired of that kind of life, I asked him just what to do. He said, we're starting over, no more looking inside. The answer is not in you. This is the beginning of what I want to be. He's changing me completely. Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me. Finish what you started in me. I like what I see. Finish what you started in me. I love what you're doing in me. I do. I love it. Oh, yes, I do. So finish what you started in me. I like what I see. Finish what you started in me, Lord. I love what you do within me. I love what you do within me. I used to spend my whole life trying to figure me out, blaming everybody but me. I used to love to listen to people talking about remedy. I just kept on trying, but it doesn't mean I've changed. It seems like all the answers to what I wanted to be never apply to me. So when I came to Jesus, tired of that kind of life, I asked him what to do. He said, we're starting over, no more looking inside. The answer is not in me. This is the beginning of what I want to be. He's changing me completely. Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me. Finish what you started in me. I like what I see. Finish what you started in me, Lord. 'Cause I love what you're doing in me. Yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, yes, I love it. I love what you're doing. Finish what you started in me. I like what I see. Finish what you started in me, Lord. 'Cause I love, yeah, yeah. I love what you're doing to me. I love what you're doing.
You know, God will be glorified when what he started in you gets finished. Because if you look at my life, what I am doing in the ministry today, it's not what I was doing in the ministry 20 years ago or 15 years ago. The beauty of your calling and the beauty of who you are supposed to be comes at the finished product. In fact, if you look at a building, it's at the very end of the building that the beauty comes out. Because they finished the roof, this, that, the last thing. Well, let's paint it now. And that's when the beauty comes. So the beauty of your calling, the beauty of my calling, is at the end of the calling. It's at the finished end of the call. It's not, Apache, it's not at this stage of your calling. It's not where you see the beauty of your calling. This is you see iron rods. That's where you see some hardness. That's where you even see some ugliness. The beauty of your calling. You see, that's why I said that. This is, I have glorified thee. I have finished thy works. I have glorified thee. I bring glory to you. The glory comes at the finished product, not at the beginning. And that's why we need to follow through to the end. We need to push the thing to the end. The beauty of this South Africa, look, a day can come when Lighthouse will be compared to John G. Lake's church in South Africa. You know John G. Lake? John G. Lake? Who started, is it a Dutch Reformed Church? Or AFM, Apostolic? Yeah. A time will come, a time could come. Now we cannot be compared. What do you say? Less than 38 churches. He had about 6,000 churches or several thousand churches in the few years that he came to minister here. Yeah. I mean, that's the time that you can come, you can say, what a beautiful ministry, able to establish so many churches which today are still in existence. Do you get it? And what I'm saying is that a day could come, if we finish the work, you will be surprised that a certain beauty could come, that history books will be written about our church. Yeah, but as it is now, no history book is going to be written about our church. Not at this stage. But we need to finish it and you'll be surprised. Historians will be studying. So then they did this. Then these were the steps that they used. These were the principles that they had. This is that people will be discussing, writing. Wow. So when I think about you, huh? Preaching. You start preaching. I remember when I hadn't preached for 1 hour before. I went with my notes and my new suit and my notes. My first Sunday sermon. Today, I actually find it boring to preach on Sunday because I'm preaching for 3 days to you. I'm the speaker for 3 whole days. I'll talk to you until I go, and I'll not even finish what I came to talk about. I know. I've never really finished any camp. That I started. Forgive me, Lord. You remember when we're having our tell them camp? The points are so many in the end, we just summarize and close. It never gets finished. You get it? So there's a certain beauty that can come about you. You'll be surprised. You say, is it me? It's the Lord will say, my mercy is over all my works. My mercy is over you too. You can be. You can. I say you can. Lift your hand and say, I can. Say, I can. I will. I must. I have. I will do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because his mercies are over all his works. You may be sitting here today with an abortion as fresh as yesterday. But remember that his mercies are over all his works. That's how come you are even here. None of us are qualified. who are preaching, we know that we are bad. We know we are. Those of you who preach, how many of you know that you are bad? Hey. Those of you who play instrument, how many of you know that you are bad? Lift up your hand and own up. All that we want is the truth. Yeah, there is what? There is no shame at all. There's no shame at all. You may scream. It was after he finished screaming that he told himself, you are strong. Very strong. The strongest so far. Hey! Hey! Huh. Are you listening? I sense the spirit of beauty over your ministry and over your calling. But it will come at the end of your calling and at the end of your ministry. Yeah. The end will bring a beauty that is not seen today. So don't be concerned if a lot of people are not pointing to you and saying, look at Dennis, look at what he's doing. How great is his work is. Yeah, because you are laying blocks now. Nobody's going to clap and say, wow, what a beautiful thing. Wow, beautiful. Nobody's going to say that. You are laying foundations. Who can praise you? Who knows what it's going to look like when you finish? You know, the first time I had a crusade, when I stood on the pulpit and I stood behind, because I had had the vision, I'm going to do it. When I stood behind the pulpit, it was one like this. And I said, let's pray. I started laughing. If there's a video, you watch the video, you see that. I started, it was so funny to me that now I was here, I'm coming to preach at the crusade. Because it was a dream. I said, I'll do it. I'll make a tent and I'll have a crusade. Yeah. I said, that part of my ministry cannot come until this time. Yeah. And years ago, when I first ever had my first secretary that I've had, the only secretary I've had, the Lord, when she came, said, you have to hand over the church. From that, the first thing I'm trying to hand over the church so that I can give myself to. Years ago. About 7 years ago. I've always said that. Well, I said, it was something that I had in my mind. In my heart. But I see, even when we started the crusades, we didn't used to see what we are seeing now. Now we have got a taste of blood. That's why your dogs, if you let them taste raw blood, they now know blood. Because there's some taste you shouldn't let them have. Do you see? Yeah, you shouldn't let them have some taste. They say raw blood. When they see you, say, I can get some raw blood from my master today. Or from his child. But there's some taste that we have seen in the crusade. We haven't seen before. Our last crusade, we had over 83,000 people. Yeah, not imaginary. I mean, numbers or chairs or anything like that. 80-something thousand in some remote place. Yeah. We saw the sea of the people. You see, so, but I never saw it. The first time we had a group, we arranged 600 chairs. By faith, he said, we are going to have a crusade. 600, we spread them out in the tent. Yeah. 600 chairs to 80,000. So now we have tasted blood. We are now thinking of other higher things. Are you listening to me? I'm prophesying about your future that is to come. There is a certain loveliness that will be manifested, but it will be manifested at the end. It will come up. But don't look for it now. You see Grace singing behind me? She's surprised that she's singing. Yeah. She said, I'm surprised that this my little singing I used to sing in school has become important. Because I don't even know what she learned in school. She went to university for 4 years, I think. Huh? Is it four? Yeah, 4 years. I don't even know. I don't care what she studied in school. It's the little singing that she sang at school. That's what's important now. Yeah. I love what I see. He's changing me. Is there a part that says he's changing? Sing that part. He's changing.
It's changing me completely.
Completely.
Every day I can see It's Jesus working in me.
Sing it.
He's changing me completely. Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me.
I prophesy about your distant future.
He's changing me completely.
Changing me completely.
Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me.
This part. This is the beginning of what I want to be. How many believe that this is just the beginning of what you want to be? Say it, teachers.
This is the beginning.
Are you writing it?
Of what I want to be.
Hey, this is the beginning of what I want to be.
Is it
not powerful?
To be.
And what's the next?
He's changing me completely. Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me. He's changing me completely. Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me. This is the beginning. To be, he's changing me completely. Every day I can see it's Jesus working in me. This is the beginning of what I want to be. He's changing me completely. Every day I can see.
changing me completely. Isn't it fantastic? How many realize that you are being changed completely? Completely. From a beastly person to a nice person. From a cantankerous, ill-natured. Do you know what it means to be cantankerous? Ill-natured. That your nature is ill-natured. With a quarrelsome tendency. Never understanding all points that are being explained. Never accept. Never say no. Or never say yes. Never bend. Ill-natured. God is changing you completely. He's changing you completely. Wow. If you are a choleric, you must allow God to make you a phlegmatic. When God presses the button, go, then you change, you become cool like that. Phlegmatics, they are wild though. They are very cool. They don't move easily. They're just there. But God can be able to change a phlegmatic when he presses the button, go, that you change into a choleric. You say, myself has come. You are sanguine. You're always making noise, laughing, joking. You must be able to turn into a melancholic. You become very quiet and serious. He's changing me completely. That's what it means. This is the beginning of what I want to be. Yeah. It's the beginning of it. It's changing me completely. Every day I can see Jesus working in me. Hey! Finish what I started.
I like what I see. Finish what you started in me, Lord. Woo! I love what you're doing in me.
My 16-year-old friend, come. 15. What's the name again? Huh? Sinocor. Now, think about what the Lord has started to do in Sinocor's life. How many like what you see? How many realize he's changing her completely? And what the other line, the first one?
This is the beginning of what I want to be.
How many agree that this is the beginning of what she wants to be? It's changing me. Sometimes I preach, my mother doesn't recognize me on stage. Is that my son? Yeah, changing. My life was sports club, swimming, diving, surfing. Do you know surfing? I used to surf on the Atlantic Ocean with a surfboard. I go far and I come with the waves. That's me. You would not know. If I don't tell you, you would not know. Yeah, that's my life. Horse riding. I used to climb mountains with horses. Steep mountain, and I would climb to the top and cross rivers with horses and swim with the horse. That the horse is now swimming and I'm on the horse. And all the time. That was my life. This is the beginning. That was all my life. I see, if I were to progress and to progress and progress along a certain line, race, horse racing, gambling, I started to know. You said not only was I gambling, but I started to know the one who is going to actually win before the race. Will tell you that this one is winning. And although this one can win, He's going to allow this one to win. So you see them going, and I know that this is a champion. So that he will be doing something, be something. Be there. The horse is second. He will never be first. One day there was a certain horse. He was a champion horse. But every time you lose a race, you are demoted to the next level. And demoted, and demoted, and demoted, and demoted, and demoted. Until you are at the lowest possible of donkeys. You are demoted. We had division 1A, 1B, 2A, division 2B, 3B, and 4, which are almost donkeys. They're just African rural horses. And a certain man came, brought a horse from Senegal or somewhere that could really have Arabian horse. When the horse came, it came with a big name. I will not mention the name. When the horse came to run last, every day last, we were all watching it. Those of us who knew, they demoted the horse from when he came first, 1, division 2, A, 2B, 3A, 3B, 3C, 4, down to the donkeys. And then one day, let's go. He won. It was just the beginning. He left. It's not that he raced far away. He left all of them. Came to pass. They started to win every race from the last division up to from the donkeys. He beat all of them. Every week he was going like that till he was the champion horse in the whole country. Yeah. But if you don't know, you say so. Look at a new donkey that has come. It's not a donkey. I knew inside. But through Christ, Betty told me, she gave me a verse. She asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the race course. She said, what are you going to do there? I said, I'm going to go every Saturday. I go to the race course. She said, do you know 1 Thessalonians 5:22? I said, what? She said, do you know 1 Thessalonians 5:22? I said, I don't know. She said, it says, abstain from all appearances of evil. I said, what is appearances of evil? What is appearances of evil? He said, it's not evil. She said, I know it's not evil. It's an appearance of evil. Eesh. I struggled for a few weeks, but it was over. He was changing me. Yeah. But you will not know. I've come from afar. My mother, when she came to Ghana, she did not believe in God. She was a normal European. Europeans don't believe in God. Yeah. I grew up with that. Look at me now, I'm preaching. My mother comes to my church. She supports our church. She pays tithes. She works even for the church without being paid. Yeah. It's changing. I like. Well, how does it start?
This is the beginning of what.
Emmanuel, this is the beginning. This is just the beginning of your life and your ministry. What are you worried about if it's just the beginning? What are you worried about if it's just the beginning of your ministry? What are you worried about? It's just the beginning. It's your first battle. It's your first battle and you are afraid. Who? More battles are coming. Listen, David said, I am surrounded. He shouted 3 times, I'm surrounded, oh Lord. I'm surrounded. But I shall cut them off in the name of the Lord. He said, they have surrounded me like bees. Have you seen a man who's surrounded by bees? That's what happened to David in his fight for the Lord. It's the beginning. But it's changing you so completely and so radically that somebody will come and then they'll be analyzing your nature. They'll say you are choleric and people will laugh and say it's originally a phlegmatic. Originally changed completely. When you see the guy, it's as if it's a choleric something. Totally changed. A gambler who has become a preacher. A fornicator who has become a holy man of God. Bible says Elisha was passing the wife. The Shunammite woman said, see this holy man of God that comes to pass. That you cannot do such certain things. Even by the grace of God, because of your tiredness in the world, you have spent all your strength. God will grant you tiredness.
now, nothing works again. You just be moving as an elderly patient who has no desires. Hey! This is the beginning! I can show you a film of Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. When I show you, this is the beginning. It's changing me completely. I had a camp last year and I showed them his ministry. See the beginning. And you see that, yeah, yeah. But the glory will come when it's finished. When you fought. You must fight some fight. You must lose some. And I've lost some fights. I've lost some battles. But I'm still standing by the grace of God. And I'm still fighting.
Amen.
To win a war, you must become wars yourself. Hey! How many are ready to become a personal war in the system? Hey! Look at how Pastor Kingsley has been tired in South Africa. And Pastor Clufio has been even more tired than anybody in this country. Pastor Clufio has been. He is the most traveled lay pastor in the whole world since the world was begun. Since the world began. 160 kilometers a day because of Christ. Because he had another work. And at that work, he used to go 1 kilometer to work and come. But because of Christ and the way he moved here to travel 160 kilometers or 180 kilometers daily so that he could be here. See how people have been tired. And you want to get up and come and spoil something that people have been tired. That's why I say that, Choboy! Do you understand Abuabiribo Jatabiribo? Abua is an animal. An animal is coming, and Jata is a lion. A what? Simba. A lion. A king of the jungle is coming. Abua be an animal is a certain animal is coming, and a certain lion, Jata be. Riba, it is coming. Zaminamina. We are going to war. We are coming to fight Adonijah in the church. We are coming to fight Judas in the church. We are coming to remove the mask from Absalom's in the church. We are coming to deal with Lucifer's and Satan's and Korah's in the church. Although we have suffered a lot in this church before we see that we are standing here. People have really suffered. Pastor Clifford, will you be happy to see that somebody has come to spoil the church? Choboy! 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 Somebody has suffered. You are coming to spoil the church. A nice thing that has to end beautifully. We must all see. All of us are going to smile when we are in our coffins. Everybody, do your mouth like this. That's how you look like when you are there. How many are ready to become a war? To win a war, you must become a war. There is no shame. There's no shame in that. You can scream. Hey! We have suffered. And we want to see something. When Juanita died, Mrs. Saki, Bishop Saki's wife, there was something that was a bit frightening about it when I went to the mortuary. She had a smile on her face. Like, as I look at her lying there, I was just alone there looking at her. Somebody lifted her head. She said, "Ah, you people, you don't know what you are doing. You carry on whatever you want to do." Hey! A certain smile that will make any living person wonder that this person is actually happy. A smile. Is it a smile? I tell you, when you lie in your coffin, you smile when you remember the branches. And you remember some orangu who came, say, hey, when that guy came, I turned into a wall. To win a war, you must do what? You must become a wall. Yeah. I turned into a moving wall. Yeah. You see, Rambo. Let me tell you. You see, I'll explain to you. Solomon said, wisdom is found in the streets. He said, wisdom shouts in the streets and in the square, in the noisy streets. That's where you get wisdom. You see it in the street. It's not even found by reading. You see it in the streets. You see wisdom. The guy who betrayed Rambo, a certain commander told him, you are making a mistake with this guy. He said, what mistake? He said, the mistake you are making is Rambo. It's called Rambo. A time will come when Satan and demons will say, you have made a mistake. The mistake you have made is Pastor Richard. They'll say, the mistake you have made is Pastor Clufio. It's a mistake that you have made. You have made a mistake. You shouldn't have dealt with him like that. So the person has turned into a wall. You have suffered in Mozambique. Somebody should come and spoil your church. Chobwe! We have suffered to send missionaries. $250,000 we spent only this year. This year that has come. This year. 200,000 US dollars. Today, credit crunch. They have sent missionaries all over. Credit crunch, there's no money. Look at the money we have used to send pastors. So you are coming to spoil the church. It will not be easy for you again. Yeah. I mean, they are ready to turn into war. Personal war. Yeah. One man who can kill everybody. You can fly helicopter. You can swim. You can kill with knife. You can kill with gun, pistol. Anything at all. Bows and arrow. You are good at it. Yeah. What do you think? Are you ready? Yeah. So, what's the name again? So, Sinoclaw. How many want to see the... Maybe she'll be Catherine Kuhlman one day. Wow! Maybe one day she'll be holding... Maybe she'll be a little bigger. She'll be holding a mic and she'll be preaching. A lot of people there like that. She'll be holding her hand. She'll be ministering. She'll be ministering. She'll say, come forward, come forward. And she'll be ministering. This one. This is just the beginning. You'll be surprised. So that is why we are practicing what we call protectionism. We have to protect our industries, our investments. Anybody who wants to come for this one, I, Pastor Dahlia, you rise up and you say, Zamina mina, Zamina mina. Zamina mina. Chobwe! To win a war, you must become war. Sit down. Number 10, we must finish our work and experience all this. We must finish our work so that we experience all the sufferings that Christ has intended for us. Amen. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Wow. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We are going to take a break here, but I want everybody to get some vinegar for the next session. There is a certain... How does vinegar taste? Yeah. Sour, bitter, sharp. Everybody try to get some vinegar. Do they sell vinegar here? Can I get some vinegar? Everybody is going to taste vinegar. We are all going to drink some vinegar today. And it's going to be the message to you that there is something that God wants you to taste. After you've tasted it, you will be able to say with Jesus, "It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. I finished." You see, finishing is not only accomplishing, but finishing is also experiencing. Tasting. There are some things you must experience. You see, one day I went somewhere, they gave me fish to eat, which has not been cooked before. Raw fish. So when they put it in front of me, I said, "Okay, you put it there. I'll eat it." So I took a fork as they were eating. I held the thing like that. And I prayed. And I put it in my mouth. Then soft, raw fish. And I swallowed it. And it went. Ah! That was it. Then I went to another place. They caught a crocodile. And they cut some of the crocodile's tail for me. And they gave it to me to eat. Not raw. That one was cooked crocodile. I want to, I put it in my mouth. And I swallowed it. I said, "Thank you. It's enough." Why do you think I ate it? So that one day I can say I've eaten a crocodile before. Yeah. That's the only reason. Experience. I have to experience certain things. I've eaten a raw fish before. I've eaten a crocodile before. I have to be able to say it. What have you been through? What have you survived? What have you suffered? The things you are supposed to accomplish are not only things that you have done, but things that you have experienced and endured and survived in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your personal experience, in your financial life, whatever. So there are some experiences you are supposed to have. That's why I tell people who are not full-time in ministry, I say that there is a difference between being a lay pastor and being a full-time pastor. There is a difference. You see, because a man can behave like a woman now, but he's not a woman. He can walk with his bottom like that. But it doesn't make you a woman. You can have some breasts, but it doesn't make you a woman. You can speak, "Hello, hi there." You can do your hand like that. You can do your hand. Still, you are not a woman. You get what I'm saying? So you can do things, but so a lay pastor can do work for God, work for God, work for God. Still, you are not in full-time ministry. There is a difference. And sometimes to be in full-time ministry, God has desired for you to taste something. You see, Jesus, that's what Paul said, to fulfill the sufferings of Christ. I have to experience this suffering because to fulfill the experiences. There's some suffering that you have to also go through. And when you successfully experience it, then you are qualified for certain things. So when they asked him, "Can we sit on your right and your left?" He asked, "Can you drink the cup?" He didn't say, "Can you build a church like I'm going to build a church? Can you experience what I'm going to experience? Can you taste what I'm tasting?" Okay, they said, "Okay, yes, you will taste it." You taste it. There is some taste you must have. And you say, have you tasted one before? Say, I have. I've been there. I've been in there. In the darkness. I've been there when I was surrounded. I've been there when the beasts were in front and the beasts were all around me. I've been there when I thought I would never make it. I've been there when I knew that I cannot make it, I cannot survive, but God saved me at the last moment. I've been in there. There are some tastes you have to taste. It's not about what you have accomplished, but what have you been through? What have you experienced? What have you survived? And so being a Christian is also about experiencing certain things. You see, when you are a full-time minister, you are subject to forces you don't control. It's an experience you have to have. You have to experience it and do well in it. To leave Pretoria or to leave Johannesburg and move, say, I am moving to Mafeking or I'm moving to somewhere just because of the church. That you ever done anything like that because of God? Some of you have never done anything for God before. All you've ever done is for yourself. Even to transfer your location or your job where you are working to try and move to a remote place just so that you can do the work. Some have never done anything for God before. Anything you've ever done is being for yourself. You have never experienced denying yourself for Christ. And God is saying, to finish, you are going to taste some things. If you are ready, come. And that's why I always promise people, suffer. So that you even experience something more bitter. So when we get our vinegar today, when we taste, we realize that it is not nice, but it's not as terrible as we thought. That's one of the revelations you get. Serving God, there's some pain in it, but it's not as terrible as it may look sometimes from the outside. Yeah, it's not as terribly evil. It's not evil. It's a blessing. Amen. Derek Prince wrote a book called The Grace of Yielding. I saw a pastor preaching on television. The guy was saying about what he's doing. He's done this. He said to himself as he was watching the guy, it's good, it's nice. But this young man will get to a place where he'll realize it's not about what he's doing, but what is he allowed himself to experience or to allow to happen in his life. Even if you take Bishop Saki, he has experienced the death of a wife. It's an experience that God allowed him to experience. And he may not allow everybody. Of course, not everybody's going to experience that. But it's the higher. There are two high stresses a person can experience. The death of a spouse or divorce. They are the highest stresses in this world for a human being. Now God made him go through that thing. I don't know why. But it's a taste. Sometimes you ask yourself, why? And also to feel powerless. There's a place you have to feel powerless. Every man of God must get to a place where he realized that he sees it and everybody sees that he has no power. Like Jesus was standing on the cross and the people said, if you are the Son of God, come down. Do this and you are there. You don't save yourself. Heal yourself. Physician, heal yourself. It's an experience. So you see that you're a great man of God, but you are powerless too. You pray and they die. It's an experience. I've prayed for people who are dead. I've prayed for people who are healed. And I've prayed for people who died. You have to experience it so that you see that you are nothing. It's heavy. Are you ready to experience? Amen. Are you sure you are ready to experience what it's like to be alone, to be forgotten? You have to experience to be forgotten, to be rejected, to be alone. You fall into the dampness and the darkness and the aloneness where a seed falls into the ground and he dies. And when you experience it successfully, then you begin to bear fruit. That is the meaning of suffering. Are you there? How many understand what I'm talking about? Or you don't understand what I'm talking about? Do the people understand what I'm preaching? How do you know whether they understand what I'm preaching? How many understand what I'm preaching about? Does it make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are experiences you must experience. It's God ordained. And sometimes when you take certain decisions, it brings that experience. As soon as you take the decision, that thing comes to you. Yeah. Because you took that decision. So many of you missionaries, if you are successful at being lonely, one day you see a lot of fruit and you will cry when you see the people. Because you know that you really suffered. One day I went to Pastor Ishmael's church in Tema and the choir sang. Twice it happened to me. One in Tema and one in Ho. I had not really been to any big brand that had been successful. I don't know, but I just remember as a student, he had a big choir and they sang. Tears were in my eyes all the time. And I was just looking and saying that, hey, so it's worth it. Because his church, that we had bought that building, we have suffered so many things there. And so many experiences. But you see now a big church with choirs. People are singing, working for God. Hey. And you realize that you have to experience all that to experience one day these fruits. But if you can survive, not everybody will survive though. Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Some people cannot even survive a camp. They cannot even attend a camp. They cannot even get away from their work. They cannot even overcome Pharaoh. They cannot even make a way. They cannot even make a way. Yeah. How much more to make another kind of way for the church to work? Huh? Do you see the marriage vows that you use when you are having weddings? You know, when I wrote those vows, I wrote it when I was a house officer working on duty at Kolebu Hospital doing my housemanship. I wrote it in the night on the ward. I wrote it on medical 2 ward. Medical ward 2. That's where I wrote it. I had it there and I was writing, composing it. That's what you've been using for your weddings. When I was working at the hospital. If you can't even overcome Pharaoh, who are you going to overcome? When you get to the wilderness and you see lions and other things. What is your work? Your work can be overcome so that you can serve God. If I have not worked before, I would respect your work. If I have not been to school before, then I would be afraid of your school. But I've been to university for 7 good years. 1982 to 1989, 10th of March. 4 o'clock, I finished. Sharp, I was free.